MZTV.
I was watching some clips of the Senate confirmation hearing today of Kash Patel, who is Trump's appointee for FBI director. Of course, every appointee has to be voted on by the Senate. They interview with these people and they have to answer some tough questions. They're grilled by both sides of the aisle, the Democrats and the Republicans, and then they take a vote. And I was listening to some questions by a Republican pointing out how the FBI under the Biden administration had directed its vast powers against the American people, basically against its political opponents. This is not hypotheses. There were whistleblowers within the FBI who said the FBI was targeting parents at school board meetings, people attending church services, going to anti-abortion protests. And instead of like going after real criminals, they were persecuting their political enemies. And their biggest political enemy we know is Donald Trump, and the entire justice system was pointed at him with bogus charges, bogus indictments, and bogus convictions, which only worked in Trump's favor. It made him more popular because society at large could see that he was being unfairly persecuted and it was purely political. And so that Americans, see, we champion underdogs. And you might say, Trump an underdog? Yeah, Trump was an underdog there for a while. Not now. He's at the top of the mountain now, but for sure, they could have put him in jail for life. They tried to kill him. So, you know, and here he is. But that's another story. But I'm listening to Kash Patel's answers, and he swears to uphold the Constitution and the motto of the FBI, which is, you know, to bring criminals to justice. And as I'm listening to this, I suddenly have this spiritual experience. I start weeping and I get Pentecostal, right? I raise my hands up to heaven and I'm just starting to praise God. I'm thinking to myself, why is this hitting me? And it took 2 seconds to understand. It's because my role in the Celestials is to bring justice. And I love when justice is brought. And I know that now the powers that be among the Celestials, the evil powers there, are persecuting the wrong people. They're persecuting the people of God. And there's coming a new sheriff in town. Here in the U.S., Trump is the new sheriff. In the celestial realm, it'll be the body of Christ. And those of us who are members of his body will have very big, important roles in bringing these celestial beings to justice, and those who are with them, whoever are with them, who have targeted their awesome, terrible powers upon the wrong people. The persecutors are going to be the persecuted, and we are going to level the law of Christ against them and bring law and order back to the celestial realm, because it needs a return to law and order and life and peace and structure and happiness and joy and trust just as much as we do here on earth. So that was what that was about. I was confident of that. I was sure of that. It's like God gave me a glimpse into my role. He said, you see what's happening here at this Senate confirmation hearing? You just wait, kid. You just wait till your confirmation hearing. That's okay. Okay. I'm waiting. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready. Ready to hit the ground running, Lord, or flying, whichever you like. It is suggested to us by those who don't think Christ preexisted that somehow then his faith is cheating. His faith wouldn't count, Martin. His faith just wouldn't count if he was a celestial being. If he was the Son of God, what faith do you need if you're the Son of God? You're just minimizing his faith. Oh, but if he were just like us, why what? We have great faith? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Why, if he was just like us, what, his faith would be just like ours. But because of where he was and what he was sent to do, his faith would have to be monumentally bigger and greater than ours so that it would be put in a faith museum behind fucking glass. So great is the faith of the man who came here, having come to understand where he had been and what he had come to do. You have got to be fucking kidding me that his preexistence would lessen his faith, lessen his obedience. You have got to be fucking kidding me. It increases it so far beyond anything we're familiar with. How dare you even suggest such a stupid thing? I've heard of stupid things before, but this is one of the stupidest. So your faith is so great. And what are you asked to believe? What are you asked to believe? That you were chosen in Christ before the disruption of the world? All right. That maybe you won't die? Yeah, okay. Maybe I won't die. Maybe I'll get snatched away. That even if you do die when you're resurrected, you're going to be with God in Christ? Oh, that takes faith. I'll admit that to you. And what's your situation in life? I mean, are you living in a gulag? Are you being persecuted every day? Are you hiding from bombs? Maybe our friend in Israel might be all these things, so this doesn't apply to her. What is our situation in life? Kind of most of the time, it's actually conducive to faith. Because I think generally speaking, in this era of life and to those to whom I am speaking, those to whom God takes great care of, we have enough to eat, we have a safe place to rest our heads. We have some people who love us, maybe a few, maybe one, but what about his situation? What was he asked to believe about himself? Put that question on hold for a moment. And let me ask you this. Do you remember when you were born? Do you remember your first year of life? No, none of us do. Neither did he. He was so humbled, he didn't even know he'd been born. Did you realize the day you were born that you were born? These memories are still hidden from us. And we have no memories of before we were born because we didn't exist before we were born. But what if we began developing memories before we were born? And what if instead of believing that we were chosen beforehand, before the disruption of the world, what if we learned that we were existent, seated at the right hand of God. In fact, the Son of God, and in fact, everything that we saw in the world was created through us. And that we were actually before all. And you were asked to believe that growing up in a slum with poor parents. Growing up in the armpit of the Middle East. And then on the other side of it, you learn that you are the Messiah of Israel. And not only the Messiah of Israel, but you are the key to the conciliation of the universe to God. And all you have to do is be tortured by the Romans and crucified. And in the meantime, your circumstances don't change. You pray to God every day and you hear this. Nothing. You want to try to tell me that the faith required to believe these things would be easy when you're living in worse circumstances than any of us are, and you hear less and sense less than any of us do. Because we're in the post-crucifixion era. He wasn't. Do you think he remembered when he was born or that he was born? When you Tories land at the feet of Christ after the snatching away, you are going to realize it is going to hit you what is involved in the word emptied. And even we who accept the full resume of Christ, when we see him, we are going to realize instantly the weight, the drama associated with he emptied himself. And we are going to fall on our faces and worship him. And yet we are told that his emptying was some acquiescence post Bethlehem, not to use his powers. So weak, so lame, so stupid as to be beyond the pale. Can you imagine being asked to voluntarily enter into an Alzheimer condition so that you can relate to your mother or your father? The doctor says, I can put you in an Alzheimer state. I can put you to sleep with a sedative. We have a certain drug here, and you are going to wake up and you are not going to remember anything of your past, and you are going to be afflicted with Alzheimer's so that you can relate to your mother. Would you do that? Hell no, you wouldn't do that. Don't tell me you would. He did that. exponentially greater, more terrifying, more somber, more serious, because he knew that it would involve the cross. And he knew that he would enter a state and be so humbled in the emptying that he wouldn't even know he'd been born. I don't know about you, but I can already feel the panic. And going into that doctor's office and watching him ready to shoot that drug into my veins. That's going to make me forget everything and guarantee that I will have Alzheimer's so that I can relate to my mother. We both have to learn who we are to each other. A slow, agonizing process of getting to know one another. Starting from scratch. My God. When we come to understand what is really meant by the simple phrase, emptied himself. That verse in Genesis has always stunned me. God says, he created the stars also. Just one sentence. He created the stars. What is involved in creating all the stars? And yet one sentence. He created the stars. He emptied himself. Coming to be in fashion as a human. And on top of that, humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. But when we come to see what was involved in the emptying, didn't even realize he'd been born. He had to learn from his parents that he was the Messiah of Israel. And then he had to believe that in spite of every circumstance that screamed the opposite. Oh, we have faith. But our parameters are so narrow, the ceiling's so low, and the floor is so high, and we're in this small realm of what we're being told in the scriptures concerning ourselves. We were chosen beforehand that we might not die. We're going to be with God. We have faith. Isn't it great? In the meantime, we're living high on the hog, relatively. Compared to those who don't have computers or phones to hear my voice. But him? What was he asked to believe? That all came into being through him? That he was the theophanies of the old covenant? And that these memories had to come to him gradually like it does to every human being. Every human being grows in wisdom and knowledge and stature. Scripture says that he grew in wisdom. And he grew in wisdom. What do you think that means? It's that he did not have the wisdom beforehand. After the emptying. Because he was also emptied of the wisdom. And the knowledge, and the glory, and everything. Everything. He lost everything. But because of his obedience, and his willingness to join us in the valley of the shadow of death, he was raised higher with greater glory and greater power than he even had with the Father before the world was. And he was also asked to believe that that would be the result of the crucifixion. Without seeing or hearing anything until his public ministry began. The first time he saw anything was when the dove landed on his shoulder in the Jordan River. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. That must have been such a freaking relief to him. As far as I know, it's the first time anything happened to him that was supernatural. And he needed it because he was going to start to be hated by almost everyone and abandoned by almost everyone. In the meantime, being asked to believe things that you and I would choke on if somebody told them to us. And we say, not me, I would never say this, but some people say that his faith would be compromised if he had this former position with God, or if he knew what his future would be. It's just the opposite. He would have to have faith the likes of which none of us have ever even tasted to believe the things that he was beginning to understand concerning himself. And was he understanding them correctly? Was he sure this was the voice of God? Was he sure these scriptures are referring to him? Was he sure his mom and dad weren't crazy when they said that the angel Gabriel talked to them? He never heard the angel Gabriel. He wasn't there. He's just believing what his mom said. She's a little whacked. His dad's maybe been breathing a little too much sawdust, yet he has to believe every word of what they say concerning his childhood. And when he reads the scriptures of the suffering Messiah, when he reads Isaiah, what tells him that that's him? What tells him that? The same thing that tells us that we're the sons and daughters of God, the Spirit of God. No voice, no light shining on the page, no angel showing up. That didn't happen until after he was tempted by Satan. In the extremity of the extremities, and at Gethsemane, in the extremities of this nightmare walk he had to walk on earth, nightmare walk. Every day was a freaking nightmare. Oh, his faith was nothing unless he was like us. Just who the hell do you think you are? What the hell do you think your faith is? How great is your faith that if only Christ's faith was like yours? No, you insist that Christ's faith has to be like yours in order for it to impress you. You're not impressed by a faith that is asked to believe the things I've been telling you before and after? And that your father is the one who's going to crucify you? And he never tells you anything in a freaking audible voice. Never. Except this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. That was nice. Nice 5 seconds there. What the hell do you think he got when he was on earth? A freaking teleprompter? Visions in the sky? Writing on the wall? Up until the beginning of his public ministry, he got nothing except the Spirit of God. That did what? The Spirit of God that inspired faith.